Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Marilyn Solutions, we will be with you in just a minute. We are connecting with our guest today, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, and we are glad to have him with us. And if you are interested in being on our show, be sure and call us at Pierce County 253-584-1480. And that's Pierce County 253-584-1480. And in King County, toll free 253-804-5765. I've been told that we are connected with Dr. Gibson, and we will click in with him in right now. Dr. Gibson, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, we're so glad we got you. Just
finally
called in,
got connected.
Right on the nick of time here.
Yeah.
And you're our guest today, and we want everyone to know you're a psychiatrist from Arizona.
That's
who practices beyond the traditional medical guidelines.
You might say that. And I have an open mind, let's put it that way.
Oh, I think that's terrific, because I think that's what this show is all about today.
Having an open mind.
Exactly.
If we can open one or two minds out there, that's even better.
I hope we do. Well, I'd certainly like to introduce you properly.
Okay.
And Dr. Mitchell E. Gibson is a doctor who is well known and highly respected among medical doctors in the state of Arizona. Dr. Gibson has been listed among the top 10 doctors in Arizona in Phoenix Magazine on several occasions. He has three times been named to the Woodward and White listing of the best doctors in America. And he is a diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, the American College of Forensics Medicine, and the American Board of Forensics Examiners. Dr. Gibson is a former chief of staff at the East Valley Camelback Hospital, and he was chief resident in psychiatry at the Albert Einstein Medical Center in Philadelphia. He is a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill School of Medicine. In addition to all this expertise in medicine, Dr. Gibson is a research member of the American Federation of Astrologers and is a contributing author of American Astrology Magazine and Today's Astrologer. Dr. Gibson recently contributed a chapter to the Llewellyn Sun Signs Annual, and he is the author of the groundbreaking book Signs of Mental Illness, which is now in its second printing. Dr. Gibson has also completed the first two software packages based on his work in astrology, which are entitled Signs, the Inner Sky, and Signs, the Spiritual Sky. He has recently completed his second book that is entitled Signs of Psychic and Spiritual Ability. It was released in November of 2001 by Modern Astrology Publishing and is now available for purchase. Dr. Gibson is an accomplished contemporary artist and has displayed his works in New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Philadelphia, Scottsdale, San Francisco, and other numerous cities in the globe. He recently received the Jury Prize for Creativity in the competition at the Museum of Fine Art in Paris. I'm impressed, Doctor, with all your artwork, because I do art.
Thank you.
And his artwork is published in the Encyclopedia of Living Artists and New Art International. What an honor to have you here today.
Well, thank you. That sounds like three or four people you just introduced.
Well, you apparently have had a very full life so far.
That's right. I keep busy.
Many irons on the fire.
That is true. That is true.
How, as a psychiatrist, did you become interested in astrology and the psychic fields?
When I was in my last month of my internship, my girlfriend at the time introduced me to an astrologer by the name of Jacob Schwartz. And at that time, I really didn't have much interest in astrology. I had some interest in metaphysics and spiritual ideas, but I knew nothing about astrology. And he did a reading for me and nailed some very intimate details about my life, my relationship with my family, about my apartment, my car, what I did for a living, everything. And I was fascinated that he could get anything right about personal details about my life just knowing my birth information. And from that, it really hooked me into being interested in that. And I recently saw Jacob again. He's still alive. He's in his 70s now. And he came to my last lecture at the United Astrological Conference. I'm glad to see him again.
That's interesting. How do your colleagues accept your work in astrology?
Well, actually, it has gotten me more referrals than just traditional medicine. Because there are a lot of doctors who are interested in alternative techniques but just don't know how to get into it. So if they see somebody that's interested in astrology or something like that, they assume, well, Mitch must know something about these alternative techniques. Heck, I'll call him and chat with him and bend his ear. So they call me and they talk about herbs, or they talk about different traditional healing techniques like Reiki or hypnosis or relaxation. And then they say, well, you know, Dr. Gibson, I have a client who's heard you do astrology. He wants you to do his chart. So would you do that for me? So they kind of slip it in there.
That's really great. I am so glad to hear there's communication going on in the field about this, because I had a person on my show a few weeks ago who was very concerned that the traditional medicine was not necessarily communicating with complementary or alternative medical people, and it created a havoc in his life. But apparently we're coming past some of those barriers.
Well, the media sort of trains people to think in a certain limited way, and there are a number of medical doctors who not only communicate with traditional techniques and alternative techniques, but practice them both quite comfortably. But the media wants to make you think that the conservative community looks down on the alternative community, and it's not quite so black and white. There's quite a bit of communication between the two communities.
Oh, I think everybody is so glad to hear that today. Yeah. Maybe we're coming into enlightenment.
Well, you know, give another couple thousand years and you never know.
Well, can you tell anything about a person's mental health from their birth chart information?
Well, the first book that I did on astrology, called Signs of Mental Illness, I did after a little boy that I had diagnosed with, what was that, attention deficit disorder, about 8 years ago. I just diagnosed him with that disorder, which is something that about 5 to 10% of children get, and is much more common in boys than girls. And a lot of people have trouble believing that it even exists and that you need to treat it. But when you see somebody with it and you see how they respond to treatment, I mean, it really isn't much of a discussion after that. But this little boy I diagnosed with, and he looked me in the eye and he said, well, Dr. Gibson, why did God make me like this? Why did he put this in me? And, you know, with all the scientific knowledge and background and understanding and genetics and microbiology and medicine, I couldn't tell him that. I couldn't say anything about why a higher intelligence than us would put this inside a child. And so it really made me begin to think, well, I know a little bit about astrology. Maybe there's something going on in the universe that we can map or determine, that we can predict when a person is born, that will say, well, you're going to be predisposed toward having this. It's sort of like a cosmic genetic print. And that's what my research is geared toward, finding a genetic map of people or illnesses that we're susceptible to, just based on what the universe is doing at the time of our birth.
I think this is all fascinating. How can you determine or predict depression using astronomy?
Well, what I did was I looked at about 150 charts of people who had different types of depression. And I looked at, then I compared them to people who pretty much were normal as far as having no history of any mental illness. And these were people that were born over about a 100-year period, probably a 150-year period. and in comparing the two groups, what I found was that people who were born with depression tend to have certain things that show up in their chart much more than you would just by looking at it normally. There are things that show up that you just can't explain away. So, and in doing that, I created what's called a computer algorithm. It's a grouping of things that the computer says, this doesn't happen by chance, and you might want to look at this more carefully. And in doing that, I came up with some things that are not just the traditional astrology aspects, but some are multiple planet aspects. Some are relevant to where the planets are in a certain position in the sky. Some are relative to what planets are doing in relation to other planets, but not necessarily by themselves. So it's a number of interesting things that gave us the rise to call it modern astrology, or a different type of astrology.
Yeah, can you tell that people might be paranoid schizoid or a psychopath from your charting?
Well, in the research, we looked at five different types of mental illness. We looked at major depression, We looked at all the anxiety disorders. We looked at attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity and without. And we looked at addictive disorders, and we also looked at psychosis with schizophrenia. We did not look at manic depression, but we did look at those five things. And in the new study, I'll probably, if I get some time, look at manic depression.
I'd like to hear more about that, too, when you get a chance.
Yeah. And in doing that, we found that there were a number of things that showed up that we call marker aspects. And a marker aspect essentially tells you that this is something that is unique or different about a person's chart that shows up more often than it should in somebody who has a mental illness or whatever you're looking for.
Well, this sounds like it could be very practical in that right now we have a lot of people in all kinds of forms of addiction, and domestic violence is part of addiction from my experience, and even the Catholic Church is dealing with pedophiles. Would these things, could these be indicated then prior to maybe conscious knowledge of what's going on in a person to help prevent or to help deal with it faster than what we're able to do, look
all
at it today?
All mental illness, unfortunately, starts in a person's unconscious. And it works its way forward either with stress or illness or some inciting factor will bring it up from a person's unconscious and make it something they have to deal with. And the interesting thing about the research is that the marker aspects we found are ongoing. They don't just happen when you're born. I mean, these are recurring aspects. So we found that whenever these aspects recur, the illnesses also tend to recur or get worse. So if a person, for instance, is born with a predisposition for depression, when the marker aspects start grouping up in the sky, the depression gets worse.
Interesting.
Or if the marker aspects for anxiety starts grouping up in the sky, their anxiety gets worse.
Well, this is such a fascinating topic. I know everyone wants to stay tuned. We're going to take a break at this point. But he has written a book called Signs of Mental Illness, which we're talking about aspects of that book. And when we come back, we'll find out more about signs of psychic and spiritual ability. So stay tuned and don't go away. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. If your organization is looking, excuse me. If your organization is looking for a speaker or wants to raise money, I'm available for an informative evening and have spoken internationally, and I enjoy speaking if you haven't figured that out. My class on Edgar Cayce, a 20th Century Psychic for Healing and Health, will be held September 7th at Discover U in Seattle. Register ahead of time by calling 206-365-0400, 206-365-0400, or using email. You can get them at www.discoveru.org. And check ahead and get into my class. You'll just enjoy it. And if you want to reach me for counseling, my coming classes at Pierce College, readings for your angel, from your angel's past life regression, or to talk to those passed over, you can reach me at 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. To make a contribution to continue this program and select a topic or guest of your choice for the program, email me again at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. And I want to thank Jennifer Easley as I was sharing her comments that came to me on the email about this program, and that people out there are listening and finding interest in this program and learning. And I'm delighted to know you're out there, and just keep those cards and letters coming and let me know how you feel about things, because it gives me great feedback. If you are wanting to call in and talk about these topics today that we're discussing, using astrology personal behavior and psychic and spiritual gifts, it's a great Dr. Gibson has a lot to offer, and we want to find out more. Call Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, toll free, 253-804-5765. King County, 253-804-5765. Now, before Dr. Gibson, we go on to the next part of what we were telling everybody we're going to talk about, how do you explain the effects of planets on human behavior?
Well, I believe that modern cosmology has really moved a lot of our information and knowledge about the universe forward by leaps and bounds in the last 30 years, though that knowledge and science has taken its time in kind of filtering down into the common man's vocabulary and scientific understanding. But we now know that about 95% of the universe is invisible. That if you look at, if you look outside or look up into space, if you take all of the stars and all of the planets and all of the galaxies and everything else that you can see and measure and weigh, that's less than 5% of the known universe. That if you take all of that into account and you put it into an equation of how much the universe should weigh and how much should be there, what you can see doesn't account for calculations of what the universe, what computers say should be there. So roughly 95% of the universe, according to scientists, is missing, so to speak. So about 20 years ago, scientists then began to try to explain, well, why is this discrepancy there? And even Einstein predicted that in his theory, that the universe has a certain percentage of itself that is invisible to the human eye and unmeasurable by normal standards. Scientists started calling that dark matter or dark energy. And dark matter is a type of matter that doesn't interact with physical matter. It's not antimatter. It's not matter that just absorbs light. It's a different form of matter, so that you and I both are 95% composed of that. There's also something called dark energy. And dark energy is a form of energy that composes 40% of the universe, and dark matter is about 50%, roughly 55%. So the other 1 to 5% is the stuff we can see and weigh. Well, in astrology, in the type of astrology that I study, it takes into account that the forces that move planets around are related to this energy and matter that we can only kind of inferentially or indirectly measure. And we call that energy temporal energy, to combine dark matter and dark energy into one term. And the computer program I work with measures the indirect movements of the planets as they are influenced by dark matter and dark energy, therefore creating changes in our behavior and in our kind of microcosmic version of the universe, in five words or less.
That's a fascinating answer. This gets pretty complicated, doesn't it?
Well, in a much more simple context, there are things in the universe that we can't see, touch, or measure that move us around, and that science has now a model for, and the science believe explains why the universe behaves the way that it does. What my type of astrology does is it incorporates cosmology and astrology into a science we call modern astrology or behavioral cosmology.
Fascinating. Well, now that we've talked about human behavior, why don't we move on to mystical potential?
Which is a lot more fun.
And psychic ability. Everybody's interested in that today. Mm-hmm. This is getting to be more common all the time. How do you define psychic ability?
In the work that I do, we look at four different types of psychic and spiritual ability. Psychic ability has to do with abilities related specifically to the human mind. That the human mind has versions of energy and ability and potential that we're only beginning to tap and understand. About 95%+ of the human brain and human DNA sequence is dormant. It just sits there. We don't know why that is, but it does. Psychic and spiritual potential, I believe, and many scientists believe, are related to some of these dormant or hidden gene pools that we have that just sit there until we learn how to turn them on. Except some people, through various and sundry ways, do already turn them on and use them. Now, mystical potential is different, and it has to do more with the soul or how the human spirit relates to the body and how a person can use that as a form of specialized potential and ability so that they can evolve and help other people with that. And we also measure something called mediumship, which is essentially looking at and communicating with intelligences or people from other dimensions. That includes loved ones or other things. And we look at something called spiritual healing, which is, in effect, healing people with your mind or by touch or at a distance.
Right. Well, I'm involved with those things, as you probably heard.
Mm-hmm.
And in your second book, Signs of Psychic and Spiritual Ability, thank you for sending that.
Sure.
And you discuss the astrological methods to explore psychic, spiritual, the mystical, and mediumship, which you just talked about, potential in the birth chart. How do you do that?
Well, in that study, we looked at a few hundred birth charts, about 228 birth charts, I believe, of people who had different types of potential, people and events, and we compared them to people who had not made any particular distinction in their psychic and spiritual potential during their lives, who were basically part of the normal population, quote-unquote, or the control group. And it was a very similar technique that we used for the first book, where we found that there are marker aspects, but we put these on a number system so that the number system goes from about 0 to 600, and the average person on that scale with the number of markers that show up in a control group is going to have a score of somewhere between 50 and 100. And that correlates with the planets and what they're doing at the time that they're born that show a more or less normal degree of psychic and spiritual potential. But then when you plug people like Nostradamus or Cy Bob or Edgar Cayce in there, their scores come up much different.
Okay. Do you want to... my next question is if we're to ask you about those people. Before I got to that, I wanted to ask you, you had a test on your webpage I took, which I scored very high on, but when I went to go back and check out what were those questions that I answered, I couldn't find it, and maybe people are interested in their psychic ability. Is that test still on your webpage?
Well, I think it is.
How did I find it the first time?
I think it probably was on the links aspect.
Links, okay.
Yeah, my webmaster just put that on and she thought that might be interesting. So one thing that I did was there's a chart that we can send you that if you send us your birth information, and I think it costs like $19 or $20, you will get like a 35-40 page printout of your psychic and spiritual potential.
Oh, wonderful.
And in those four different areas that we talked about.
And where do they send their money to?
Actually, you can order it via the website.
And you want to tell us, I was going to go into this at the end of the show, but you might as well tell us your website now.
That's called www.modernastrology.com. And you click on the full spiritual potential reading icon, and it takes you right there.
Okay.
And it can be emailed or mailed via snail mail, but it's a pretty good report that gives you an in-depth reading about what your potentials are. And since you were kind enough to have me on your show, if you send me your birth info, I'll send you one for free.
Well, thank you for your kindness.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I'm a curious person.
Okay.
And I'm always...
You'll have to send me your birth year as well.
Oh, well, I'm not afraid to identify
okay.
that.
Okay.
I just had a birthday. I got a year older.
And I won't announce it on the air.
It's not a big mystery.
Okay,
but that's okay, too. I appreciate your kindness in that regard. Now, getting back to some of the people that you did do charts for, and one of the people I'm very interested in is Edgar Cayce. I happened to have a study group of his meet at my home weekly,
mm-hmm.
and I do speaking and teaching for them in workshops. And I am very familiar with many of the people in that organization. We've had them on our program right here on Solutions with Marilyn. So what could you tell us about Edgar Cayce?
Well, Edgar Cayce has somewhat of an interesting chart. Edgar Cayce, I think most people are familiar with him, was one of the greatest living mediums of our time, of the last century. And in his ability, he was unique in that he could go to sleep or go into a trance and come up with very accurate information about a person's medical diagnosis and history without ever having met that person. And he was documented by medical doctors and many people over a number of years as having been very accurate and very helpful. And there's even been an institute set up that studies his research and studies his readings many years after he's passed. Well, just from his birth information... He fits into the highest category that we have called the Delphi group. We have six different categorizations of spiritual potential, the first being what we call below average, which is a 0 to about a 30 score, and then we have a score of 30 to 60, which essentially is in the normal group, and the 60 to 100 group is what we call above average, and 100 to 125 is superior, and 125 to 100 and 160 rather is outstanding, and then about 160 and above is what we call the Delphi group. He was about 285. Look at his score, just from his birth information, which is the p-value, the chance value of that, is like 1 in 4 million or something like that.
Wow.
Which I think is fascinating. When you look at a person's birth chart, and a computer trained just to look at algorithms that research has shown, shows that this man's birth information gives him gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Just from his birth information.
Wow. So parents could then actually get this information from you when they're young children and develop that skill.
Actually, I have had a number of parents request it just for that reason. Most of the time when I get a request from a family that has children, I get all the children.
Mm.
And it's really interesting that children born a year apart or within, you know, a few months of each other, one child can be gifted, another child can test normal, and they'll say, well, I thought that he was gifted, or I thought he could do things, and he tells me he can see things. So it's been very interesting to talk with people about that and hear the feedback, what they're saying about their children, what the scores tell them about them.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment to find out more information about how psychic and mystic are you. And don't go away, because we'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. And I want everybody to know that next week we have Dr. Connie Kaplan coming to our studios to talk about dreams, our letters from the soul. So you won't want to miss that show. And on following weeks, we'll have Bruce Barr here, the official worldwide supplier of Edgar Cayce Healthcare products for health, beauty, and wellness. And he has a wonderful catalog. In fact, I purchased things that are Edgar Cayce recommended or his actual formulas for items that are helpful in our health. If you're interested in improving your health, my class on holistic health classes will be 5 evenings in Puyallup under the flag of Pierce College, but we hold the classes actually at the high school. And we will cover a different part of our wholeness each evening, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and how to balance our lives to create that healthiness, wholeness, happiness, and prosperity that I'm sure we're wanting to have more of in our lives. So you won't want to miss that program. You can call Pierce College at 253-964-6616 if you want to register for Holistic Health. It's a new program that they're offering this fall for the first time. And if you have questions about the class, you can reach me at 253-845-4907. Another class Pierce College is offering that I'm teaching is a meditation class. And we're going to have 2 evenings of tools and experiences with different kinds of meditation and guidance. And I also have a process which is non-spiritual for receiving guidance and answers. So you won't want to miss out on that opportunity. And another time in October in Pierce College, I'll be teaching a class one Sunday afternoon. If evenings are a difficult time for you, don't miss this one on a Sunday afternoon to discover your past lives and how they influence your present. And if you are more interested in taking charge of your life, what you know about yourself is important. The more you know, the better you are in charge of your life. It's what you don't know is the problem. So keep those classes in mind and call the college and sign up. We'll be so glad to have you join us. Now, we are so fortunate to have Dr. Mitchell Gibson with us today, and he's talking about his various books. The one we're talking about right now is Signs of Psychic and Spiritual Ability. Call us at Pierce College, Pierce County, 253-584-1480 if you have a question. Or King County, 253-804-5765. Now, you were talking with this Dr. Gibson about Edgar Cayce. Is there any other information that you think is important about that particular man?
Well, his overall score, as I said, is about 285. And it shows that from the time that he was born, he had a tendency toward having the ability to do this mediumship gift that he had. Even though it was discovered by accident, I think the general story is that it had an accident or something, and after he woke up, he found that he was able to talk and give these diagnoses. But it's interesting that I found that quite often if a person has a gift, they don't know that it's there. They may get some vague intuitive feeling or dreams or have hunches that are correct, but most people don't know the depth or the location of their gift or what type of gift they have until they have it researched or studied either astrologically or spiritually.
Well, I found that to be true in my case. I had a lot of very subtle messages coming through. In fact, today I know at one point, as a mere child, some things were happening that I didn't identify with this is what was going on because I didn't have any frame of reference to put it to. But as I started getting into a recovery program and became more and more in the process of getting rid of the garbage of my past and be into more of attunement of prayer and meditation, all of a sudden, gradually over a period of time, these talents started to become very obvious, and it was like I finally had to come out of the closet and say, yes, this is going on. And of course today, thank goodness, it's more accepted than it was when I was a child.
And you won't get burned at the stake anymore.
Well, that brings us to Joan of Arc, and I know you did her readings, mm-hmm. or checked her birth chart out. What can you tell us about Joan of Arc?
Well, Joan of Arc is one of the charts we listed on the website. And even for a young girl at that time, her gifts are pretty extraordinary. At the time, a lot of people thought that she was psychotic or schizophrenic, even though the voices helped her win the war against the enemies of France. It was thought that she was in league with the devil and the influence of the devil, and she was killed for that or burned at the stake. But when you look at her birth chart, the mystical potential score or the ability that she has to communicate with angels and the spiritual force of God itself is in the highest rating group of 245. Like, for instance, my score in that area is 10, and most people are not going to score very high in that area, but her score is in the highest group for that. So if you look at that, this is somebody born hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and her potential there is just it's extremely high. And you just can't explain that away, that this is somebody who is not part of the original algorithm that shows up as having this gift.
Well, that's amazing that we can find it from this particular rational, hands-on, tangible approach, and it just is a new experience for us to hear that this is measurable.
It's definitely measurable, and it can also point you toward gifts that you may not even know that you have. There's an interesting story about a young girl whose name is Audrey Santo. And I think it was about 1987, 1988, Audrey was about 18 months old, and she fell into a swimming pool. And she fell and hit her head, and at the time she had been in the pool for maybe 10 minutes or so by the time her family found her, and she was very, very physically injured and it wasn't thought that she was going to live. But the doctors pulled her through, but she remained in a coma where she couldn't talk or speak. And her mother prayed at a place called Medjugorje in Yugoslavia that her daughter be healed. But the Virgin Mary appeared to her mother and said that she'll be made a victim soul, an example for other souls. So Audrey's still in a coma. She hasn't spoken. She doesn't really move. She has to be fed. She has to be on a ventilator and everything. But this young girl has miracles happening around her in that she has angels appear in front of her. She has a number of things happen that are just totally unexplainable.
Well, I can relate with some of that.
And when you look at her spiritual chart, her spiritual ability is about 265. Now, I keep throwing out these scores of 250. These are not normal scores. I mean, you can look at a whole bunch of people and you can look at 300 or 400 people and not find 10 people that have scores like that.
Wow. So that's interesting.
This is a young girl that had a very high score that probably would not have come out if it weren't for the accident.
Uh-huh. Well, I found in my case some pretty traumatic things happened, and angels did come and keep me alive. So I think sometimes that's when they become more aware that how necessary we are to be aware of that. And that was my experience. And I wish I lived closer to you, Dr. Gibson. You're having a series called The Living Soul starting in October through March. I would love to attend these. Can you tell us about these classes?
Well, the Living Soul series is a series of lectures that I initially saw in a dream. And the series is sort of in response to a number of people that have asked me about teaching. I teach astrology at the Astrological Institute here in Scottsdale, and I also teach some classes on psychology and spirituality. Well, a number of my students wanted me to get together a course on some of the things that I was talking about in class, but wasn't necessarily part of the curriculum. And they wanted to know more about the different aspects of the soul, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of the soul, and how they work and what the mechanics are, like how long does a soul live, what does a soul look like, how much does it weigh, and that's been discovered scientifically. And also, what is the soul, how does the soul function when you're alive? What does it do inside your body when you're alive? Because when it leaves, you're dead. People know that. But people wanted to know more about the mechanics of evolution and understanding of the soul while you're alive, so that when you leave this world, you had more of a hands-on knowledge and experience about what to do, rather than trying to run around and find out things that you need to know but maybe didn't have time to look into when you were still alive.
Well, you mentioned the physical aspect of the soul. I didn't know a soul had a physical aspect.
A soul has a certain weight.
Oh.
There was a study done at Massachusetts General Hospital and a couple of other hospitals that put the bodies of people who were physically ill to the point of terminal illness and death on a very sensitive scale. And these people were measured before they passed, and they were also measured after the point of death and over a period of time. And what was found pretty consistently is that people would lose about half to three-quarters of an ounce of weight that could not be explained any other way, because the beds weren't changed. I mean, there was, if there was feces or urine that came out, that was left there. But there was consistently about a 25 to 30 gram weight loss in most people
at
the time of death.
And
that weight loss happened over about a three-hour period. It was very consistent.
Wow.
So the doctors are saying that that is what they consider to be some essence or life essence of the person that leaves after they die. That may be consistent with what we call a soul.
Are you separating the soul from the spirit, or are you including them as the same?
No, we don't include them as the same. The spirit is the immortal essence of a person that God creates that has no definite lifespan. It is immortal, and that can go on indefinitely. It's a basic unit of divine intelligence that has no shape or form. But in order to experience things, it needs to create a soul or a body for itself, and that soul can take various incarnations, whether it be a person or a plant or an animal or anything. And from that, that soul can then grow and develop itself, and the spirit indwelling can learn and expand through that sort of indirect method.
Okay, are you saying that Eastern philosophy says people reincarnate into animals and plants, but in Western philosophy, my understanding is we just reincarnate as another person. Are you saying that it is possible to change form other than from human form?
That's right. And in some of the regressions I've done, people have spontaneously remembered being different things. And if your orientation is not to look for them, they won't tell you about them. But if you ask them, they'll tell you. They're there. The memories of them are there.
I've had some indications of that, but not everybody agrees with that.
Well, if it's there, whether they agree with it or not is irrelevant. It happened to the person. And it's not just Eastern philosophy. It's also Jewish mysticism, Native American, a number of other different spiritual traditions say that human beings can transmigrate.
Oh, interesting. Now, Edgar Cayce didn't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting to hear from another point of view.
There's even a book called Jewish Mysticism Reincarnation that talks about the different aspects of the soul and how there are only specific times of the year when a person can incarnate into a spiritual form that will lead to being a human or lead to being a person or lead to being an animal or a plant or things like that.
Fascinating. Well, now we're going to be back and talk some more about Dr. Gibson's products and things that he is presenting, classes. And so stay tuned, and we'll find out more about this fascinating topic of using astrology to find out things that we didn't know was possible. So don't go away. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We are so glad you're still staying tuned because you just heard some controversy on this show, and we don't usually make this a controversial show. But if you have questions about being reincarnated and have heard some new information from Dr. Gibson, you might clarify it or whatever, do call us at Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. You too can sponsor this program. If you have a message or service you want to get out to the listening public, and we do it at a very reasonable rate, call me at 253-845-4907. You can even make your own commercial. Or you can choose to ensure this show continuing on the air by making a contribution. So call me if you choose to want to see that this show continues. I'd sure appreciate your support. And if you want to reach me for counseling, spiritual counseling, classes, readings, past life regression, or to talk to those passed over, please call at 253-845-4907, or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. And remember, my angel portraits and spiritual plaques are available at Crystal Voyage at the Tacoma Dome, by the Tacoma Dome at Freight House Square. So if you are interested in a gift for your friends, yourself, go over and explore and enjoy. Hopefully you'll find just the perfect gift that you were looking for. Now, we've been talking with Dr. Gibson, and he has several books out, and he has a course coming up called Living Soul, but he also has something called The Fourth Dimension, and we want to ask him about that. Doctor, can you tell us about that?
It's a CD product we have called The Fourth Domain that answers a need that people have had in my practice about, well, doctor, how do you meditate? I hear about it, I don't really know what to do, and I've seen some people talk about it, I've heard books about it, but actually, how do you meditate? And so this CD goes through, this CD goes through a very beginning basic visualization and meditation, and then the second half of it, the last 15 minutes, goes through a guided exercise that shows people how to set up a place in your own mind and your own being that you can go to when you meditate that, from the feedback we've gotten, is very calming, very peaceful. The music is designed to be very relaxing, and it also has a very special patented series of tones called EMDR tones that help a person, to drive a person down into the theta or the low theta, high delta brain rhythm, which is very relaxing. I think I sent you a copy.
I used it yesterday, and I was going to tell everybody I really enjoyed it. It put me in such a peaceful place, and it was just exactly what I needed, so I want to thank you for that gift.
That's my gift to you.
Well, I'll tell people that it is really, I've used it, I enjoyed it, and I know it works.
And that you can get through the website. New Leaf Distribution is going to be distributing that within the next month, so it'll be in stores, but for right now you can get it via the website.
Okay, what is the best way to get hold of your books and items?
Right now you can get it via the website. You can get them on Amazon.com, and it's in selected bookstores, but there are a number of ways. You can also call me and order any of these products.
Okay, do you have a phone number for them?
Yes, we do. That's 480-838-4300.
Okay, thank you so much. And I'm sure people will want to at least check out your webpage. His webpage is just full of wonderful things. And one thing that we haven't talked about that's on there are your CDs for software.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about the software.
And that looked really interesting to me, and I was wondering, when I already know some of these things about myself, how they would be helpful for me.
Well, what they do is that even if you have a certain amount of potential, it maps when that potential is going to be more active and when you can use it and in what capacity you can use it better than others, because sometimes the potential works better than others.
I see.
And what this does is it gives you a map of the energies that are pushing your potential along, and, for instance, it tells you when your healing ability is going to be greater than, say, your other types of spiritual ability.
Or
it might mention when, if you buy the Inner Sky, it might tell you when you might have to look out for depression if you have it, or anxiety problems if you have it. So it sort of gives you a spiritual heads up.
Great, because I could have used that today.
Yeah, there are certain times of the year during certain months that you got to worry about depression being worse, or if you have an alcohol problem, the drinking problem is going to come try to kick you in the butt, or if you have a problem with psychosis, like schizophrenia. That's going to come up, so it gives you a heads up about that.
Well, that's nice to know that we can have some answers to help guide us along the way that we didn't used to have.
That's right. More than just waiting for them to happen and reacting to them, we can be proactive.
That's what I like about your information. And when we were talking about the soul, and with the stock market the way it is, what can you tell us about soul and money?
Well, it's interesting. The soul has created money from the beginning of its human physical incarnation as a way of communicating karma between people. The soul quickly realized that it was creating, by every action, every decision that it made, a force of energy called karma. Well, it needed a way to be able to quantify how much karma had accumulated and what karma existed between itself and the surrounding community and world that it lived in. So it said, well, if I have good karma and I made good decisions, should I not benefit from that? And in that way, it said, well, why don't I create something that measures the level of benefit that I've achieved or built up over time? So it created monetary value or monetary wealth. And in doing that, it created money. So a person can be spiritually wealthy and financially wealthy, in part because they have good karma, or they can be spiritually wealthy and financially poor, but the spiritual wealth will always drive a person toward a certain amount of financial wealth. Spiritual poverty will drive a person toward a certain amount of financial poverty.
Yeah, I think some of us that are in this field understand that, but is the stock market then the mirror to what's going on in our country's stability?
That's right. It reflects a certain amount of spiritual poverty in our country that is a cyclic thing. There is a renaissance toward understanding of spiritual and psychic phenomena and events, but there's also a serious undercurrent of people who are religious or fundamentalists or sort of anti-spiritual, and they think that the only way you should look at God is how you're told to look at God. So there's a certain negative connotation to that, because in the past that has led to a lot of war and death and killing, and that has a certain negative karmic energy with it. With that, it will lead to changes in the stock market and changes in our karmic situations and a certain amount of loss.
Right. So we're going through the manifestation of the unconscious then.
It's sort of an unconscious cleansing process. Even if we don't recognize it on the surface, it's still there. We can't burn people at the stake for speaking out anymore, but there's certainly people out there that would still love to.
I know that one. That brings me into my next concern. One thing you talk about in your series of The Living Soul is the question of evil, and if I thought you might quickly address negative entities and demons, and is there a difference between what the churches have to say and metaphysical groups have to say?
Well, you bring up a very good question. That could take an hour to discuss.
I know. Can you give us a nutshell?
The question of evil. Well, let's just say that it does exist, and that there is a mechanism by which it gets into the world, and there's a mechanism by which it's maintained when it gets here. And that exists within our own spirits, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So, in other words, it's what we do with what we have?
There is a mechanism that draws this objective force that is outside of ourselves into this world, and there's something in us that maintains it when it's here.
If we choose to maintain it.
Well, you can choose consciously or unconsciously, but that choice, once it's made, does maintain that energy, even right. though it's an unconscious choice.
Right. Well, I have been learning, though, that as we, in my case, I call it the inner house cleaning, as some of those old ideas and consciousnesses come to the surface, they can be let go, and you can be and can release many of those things if you are working on a spiritual path.
Absolutely. But it takes a person who's working and dedicated toward looking in there and doing that house cleaning. It doesn't just happen by itself. It has to be something you work on consciously.
And that's what my counseling is about and my teaching is helping people have the tools to actually make those changes from a proactive, conscious point of view. So I know that I just was curious what you had to say about it, but I think you're interesting, put it in such a nice, congenial way of looking at it, and I hate to see all the emotions sometimes get brought up about churches' points of view. They get overbearing sometimes.
Well, they can be, and I don't want to knock churches because right. churches do a fine service to people mm-hmm. in supplying a certain spiritual need, but there is a certain amount of ignorance and misunderstanding about what these potentials truly are. And people need to have that without judgment or without condemnation. They need to have clear, simple guidelines and understanding.
I agree. And that's why I like this program. Hopefully people can get some of the answers that way.
And that can, you can get a lot more information about it on the website at www.modernastrology.com.
Right. Can you quickly answer this question? I saw it in some of your material. Is there such a thing as sainthood?
Yes, there is. That is a special condition, and there are four main tests that a person has to have or pass before they can be considered for sainthood. But there are definitely, there's definitely a condition of the soul that creates a permanent state of divine protection over a body or aspects of that person's body. And there is a condition of sainthood.
Well, we have just really had such a great time talking with you, Dr. Gibson. We're so glad that you were available today.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, we learned a lot, and that's what this program's about. So thanks again, and everybody remember to stay tuned next Wednesday. We'll be back on the air with Solutions with Maryland. Have a great day. Go enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
You've been listening to Maryland Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Maryland@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Maryland Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.